Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, I'd like to welcome Steve Colburn. Steve is a chemist and materials scientist with over 20 years of industrial experience and several patents for industrial processes relating to nanotechnology. He is currently working in the area of carbon nanotubes and working to start a nanotech company. In the UFO field, he does high-tech analysis of alien implants, UFO crash debris, and instrument scans of clients for the presence of alien implants and other signs of recent contact. Steve, thanks for joining us. How are you doing tonight?
Great to be here.
Very good. Now, you have a very interesting background, and you actually worked with the late Dr. Roger Lear. Tell us a little bit more about your background and what got you started doing this research.
I was Dr. Lear's partner from 2008 to when he died in early 2014, and I've always been interested in nanotechnology and chemistry, microstructures, anything to do with that sort of thing, and I've also been interested in UFOs all my life, so. It was natural that when I got the opportunity to work with Dr. Lear, I chose to do so. I actually met Dr. Lear after an object appeared in my toe, and I went over to him as a patient, and he removed it 7 months later, and he didn't have anybody to analyze it, so I decided to take it upon myself to analyze a piece of the object, and the results were quite remarkable. It was a sophisticated nanotechnological device, and I went on to analyze several other implants that he had removed from other patients that had not been analyzed completely.
Now, it's interesting. You said you had UFO contact or possible abduction experiences. You said earlier in your life. Is that right?
Yeah.
I find it interesting that you're also a material scientist working with these carbon nanotubes that could possibly also be part of the technology being used in the implants you researched. Did you start doing your research, because of these occurrences?
No, I happened to be working on carbon nanotubes at my old job, and we worked on those for about 7 years, and I have several patents in the carbon nanotube field. It was just kind of a synchronicity that it turned out that the alien devices apparently utilize carbon nanotube electronics. That's something that we're working on in earthly science, but have not perfected yet, but apparently it's old technology to them. And the carbon nanotube electronics would be faster and more robust than the silicon electronics that we use. They're 3D networks of carbon nanotubes built right into the metal, apparently.
Very interesting. Now, do you remember any of your maybe your first contact experience? How old were you, and could you tell us a little bit about it?
The first thing I remember was seeing a UFO hovering over my parents' house when I was 5 years old, like a fairly small scout craft, maybe 50 feet in diameter, hovering right at rooftop level. And that was maybe 4 o'clock in the morning before sunrise. And then I blacked out and woke up like 4 hours later with blood all down the front of me. And I remembered somebody putting something up my nose. And Willie Strieber described a similar experience in the book Communion. And I think that's standard procedure for abductees to have an implant put in at that age.
It's very interesting. Now, do you have any other memories of any experiences after that?
I remembered a few things spontaneously and a lot more under hypnotic regression after I found out for sure that this was going on after I met Dr. Lear. And it's a lot of really strange stuff. It's no wonder that people are having trouble believing all this, because it's completely counter to what we're taught in school about aliens can't possibly be coming here, it's too far away, and all that sort of thing. And apparently they are.
Were your experiences, would you say, a positive nature, or do you think they had possibly malevolent purposes?
I wouldn't say my experiences have been malevolent or completely negative, but there's like a loss of control inherent in it, because they use they do what they want with you, as if you're an experimental animal, and they use mind control, and it just introduces a strange feeling of a loss of control that's really disturbing. A lot of people have commented on that.
Do you have any memories of being taking on a craft?
Yeah. Most of them I've recovered under regression, but yeah, I've got some memories of being on board. And my memories are pretty similar to a lot of other abductee reports. Especially I really related to Katharina Wilson's book. I forgot what I was supposed to remember, and Alien Jigsaw. If readers or listeners want to read those, that pretty much sums up a lot of my experiences too. Mine were very similar to hers.
Now, do you know what types of beings that you were interacting with?
The standard grays that most people report is the ones I've are the ones I've mostly seen, but. I remembered under regression seeing some tan grays on board an alien mothership at one point. The ones that were on Willie Strieber's book cover.
Now, let's get back to your first implant. Can you tell us about that experience, how that came about? First actual removal.
Well, how it was put in is I was at my house watering the plants and taking care of the place. After work, my wife was at her parents' house after my daughter was born, and she was staying there for a while to have her mom help her out with the baby. And I called her up and told her I was going to spend the night at the house because I was getting tired, and I heard some noises out in the backyard, went out in the backyard, and there were these two huge raccoons out there. And one was about 50 pounds, the other one was about 70 pounds, and I didn't even know they got that big. So that was pretty surprising. And they seemed fairly tame, so I put some food out there for them so they wouldn't eat our avocados. They were in our avocado tree. And I watched the animals for a while, and then went in and went to bed. And when I woke up, there had been a lot of strange stuff going on prior to that. And when I woke up, I just realized that the aliens had been there, and I had a pain in the side of my head and a stinging pain in my left second toe. And I looked at my toe, and there were two puncture wounds there that disappeared within a few hours. And the two puncture wounds lit up green under ultraviolet light. And So the stinging pain got worse and became an electric shock type pain that that went all the way up my leg about 4 days after the incident. And every time I put some weight on that toe, and so I went over to see Dr. Lear and told him I had a possible alien implant. And
how did you get into contact with Dr. Lear?
Well, I was a synchronicity too. He worked only a few blocks from where I worked in Camarillo, California. And I'd been following his research for a long time. Then all of a sudden got an implant myself and decided to go over and see him. And I don't think he believed me at first, but he gave me a prescription to get the toe x-rayed. And the prescription said give a copy to the patient. So they gave me a copy of this x-ray. And I knew intuitively I was going to see something, but when I did, I mean, it would just, that blew me away. I mean, there's a heck of a difference between, like I always say, there's a heck of a difference between strongly suspecting that something like this occurs and knowing for sure. The object looked like a bent piece of wire in my toe, and it was actually, the image on the x-ray was actually smaller than it turned out to be in real life, which was strange.
Interesting. How did the removal process go?
It went pretty well, it turned out, but the object was brittle and it broke into 12 pieces on removal. Instead of cutting it out, they tried to go in through the side of the toe and pull it out, and the object was brittle and broke into several pieces, but that turned out to be a good thing because it gave us views of the interior without us having to cut the object up. And one weird thing is that all the pieces arranged themselves in their original order when Dr. Lear had it stored in blood serum. That was really remarkable. We got pictures of that. And he gave me two pieces of the object to run a series of tests on. I did light microscopy, scanning electron microscopy, EDX, bulk elemental analysis, ICP-MS, trace element analysis, and magnetic testing and Geiger counter testing, and it was highly magnetic. That was one thing. We noticed that before we removed the object from my body, it was at about a 10 milligauss magnetic field, and our associate, Dr. Kuntz, thought that the magnetic field may have had to do with its power source. He thought that it was powered by zero-point energy, by the interaction between some phonon mode in the metal and the magnetic field. Another unusual thing about the object is the metallic portion was made of meteoric iron. That the trace element pattern in it almost exactly matched a group of nickel iron meteorites called hexahedrites. It produced no, like all the other implants that Dr. Lear researched, it produced no inflammation in my toe. Ordinarily a foreign body will always produce inflammation in the human body. So that's...
And I've heard instances of the nerves actually growing around these objects.
Yeah, that's right. There are proprioceptor nerves growing into these objects from in every case that we've seen, including the implant in my toe, and that's a connection to the nervous system. That's how they gather information apparently, and also perhaps transmit information to the body. There's some chemical cue to cause the nerve cells to grow into them. And I think that the pain I was experiencing in my toe was probably the nerve cells growing into the device.
You said there's no immune response to the object either.
No, none whatsoever. It was highly unusual. And that's been repeated like 17 times now. None of them had any immune response whatsoever.
Now, do you know what the purposes of these devices would be other than tracking?
Not for sure. We have abductee reports on what the aliens say they're for, and we have some educated speculation on what they're for. But I'll just run that by you. You know, we may find out that they do other things too. But logically, they must be tracking devices. But a lot of them are probably not primarily tracking devices. And the ones in the extremities, like the ones in the toe or the wrist, the leg, or probably are mainly physiological monitoring devices to measure all kinds of physiological parameters like blood sugar, blood oxygen, hormone levels, that sort of thing. And we have reason to believe from what people have told us that they can, most of the devices can be used to implant suggestions that are hard to ignore, because the subject always thinks it's their idea. Dr. Kuntz thought that some of them could be used as room bugs, could be, pick up airborne sounds, and they transmit radio waves, but they're not always on, but they sometimes are transmitted. And so they're definitely transmitting that information back to the people that put them in.
What are the most, I guess, what areas of the body are they mostly found in?
They're mostly found in the extremities and the head. There's typically, on somebody that's got a lot of alien activity, there's typically one above each ear, a tiny one above each ear, below the scalp, but above the skull. One at the back of the neck and the T3 vertebrae, and a brain implant. The brain implants are hard to detect because they're made of a conductive polymer. I actually analyzed one of those too that fell out of somebody's nose, and it was interesting because the alien aliens told somebody that they were made of a conductive polymer, and that indeed was what the one I analyzed was made out of. They grow, they're said to grow tendrils throughout the brain. Those implants can enable the aliens, according to what they've said, to hear and see what the subject is hearing and seeing in real time, and probably also hear what they're thinking. And so that's getting that implant is like connecting the person to the alien hive mind. They're kind of a hive mind species, kind of like the Borg on Star Trek, if you've seen them.
Yeah. And am I right in saying that some of these have actually moved when Trump been when?
Yes, I was speaking of the station. All the ones that we've analyzed right now so far have been up to now have been stationary ones, but there are moving ones too. We've never had a chance to analyze one because we can't get them out, and they're more rare than the stationary ones at any rate. But I've had contact with people who say they've had moving ones, and Willie Strieber had a moving one in his ear. I think he still has it, and Dr. Lear was going to take it out, but he changed his mind at the last minute. Willie did, that is.
Now, you said they emit radio signals?
Absolutely, yeah. About 10% of the time, they're active emitting radio signals. That's all of the implants that we know of, including the moving ones.
Now,
the moving ones are probably also made of a conductive polymer, and they have these like cilia on them, like a microorganism would have, that enables them to move under the skin. And some people report that it hurts quite a bit when they move.
Wow. Yeah, I can't imagine having something moving under my skin. Now, how many have you had removed from yourself? Just the one?
Just the one, yeah.
Have you had any others that you know of that may still be there?
I have actual evidence that I have at least two more. I think I have three or four more.
What locations I have those?
The ones above the ears, I've got those. And I remember having a brain implant put in when I was five, like I was telling you. And I think that's standard procedure for most abductees.
Now, when you're doing scans for these devices, what kind of equipment are you using?
The standard scans that I use on people that want to find out if they're abductees or not are a stud finder scan to scan areas of concern for implants. They're good at detecting metallic objects under the skin. And then we do a Gauss meter scan to detect weak magnetic fields. And alien equipment can sometimes magnetize things, including human tissue. And if we get a Gauss meter hit combined with a stud finder hit, there's a high probability that's an implant, because the implants are almost always magnetic. And then I use a Geiger counter to detect any traces of radiation once in a while or some left behind. And I use an ultraviolet light to detect alien dyes that are left behind on the body that stay up to a month, or indelible dyes that are really hard to remove. And there's various colors, orange, green, yellow, green, and blue. And they shine very strongly under shortwave UV illumination. And that's a dead giveaway. If I see those, I know the person's been taken within the last month.
Now, if they want to have this removed, do you refer them to someone to have them removed?
Well, I've just been telling, I don't have a doctor working with me at this point in time. But I just tell people to go to their GP and say they have a foreign object that's bothering them and try to get it removed. Insurance should cover it, theoretically. But that's all I can do at the moment. But I'm trying to find a doctor who will come forward and help me with this research.
Have you analyzed any recently?
No, not recently. The last stuff I analyzed was actually some crash debris from a UFO that crashed in New Mexico during the Roswell time period in 1947.
What kind of results came from that?
And I also analyzed patient 17's implant to reanalyze part of it about 3 years ago. There were mostly pieces of aluminum. There was one piece of like ultra pure aluminum that appeared to have some sort of a different crystal structure than regular aluminum, and it was very hard and it would give off sparks when you put it on a grinding wheel, which is not what aluminum typically does. It was acting more like titanium or steel in that regard, but it was incredibly strong. And that also was the case with patient 16's implant that came out of his wrist. It was a steel carbon nanotube metal matrix composite with a little bit of meteoric iron in it that was incredibly strong, and diamond tools wouldn't even cut it. That's unheard of. Diamond tools are cut just about anything.
Wow, that's...
Or should.
Yeah, that's very fascinating.
The other crash debris samples were aluminum with some strange impurities in them that would not be there in earthly aluminum samples. Little uranium and thorium, rare earths, gallium and germanium, stuff like that.
Now, do you think it's possible that our government, our military industrial complex, could be doing some of these implants?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I heard a rumor not too long ago, actually, that that the aliens had given them a large quantity of their implants as part of some deal. So I hope that's not true, because that'll mean that it'll be impossible to tell the difference between government implants and alien implants. But there's some evidence that the government and the aliens are working together anyway, but up to now, government implants have been distinguishable because they're usually like little computer chips, like a standard computer chip under the skin. But alien implants are very, very small. They're much smaller. They're like the one in my toe is like 1 millimeter in diameter by like 3.5-4 millimeters long. They're much, the technology is much greater in them, much more advanced. I'm sorry, what was your question?
Oh, no, well, I was going to go back to your contact experiences and ask if you remember any direct communication with any of these beings.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean,
are there any messages they told you?
Like when they told me what the brain implants were for, and they'll sometimes answer questions like that, not always, and they remind me of a high tech foreign military, and a lot of the stuff they do is secret on their end too. And questions about what is your agenda, what do you plan to do at point A and point B at this or that time, they won't answer questions like that, or hardly ever will. But they do sometimes answer technical questions. And let's see, I remember them telling me what the implants are for, and I remember telling me a lot of abductees report this, that they're concerned about us screwing up the planet and possibly having a war that will be disastrous, and we need to change our ways and become part of the galactic community, and messages like that. That's pretty standard.
Have you, in your regressions or any types of memories, do you have memories of interacting with any reptilian beings or insectoid beings?
I remember seeing some ones that look like praying mantises that are like the bosses of the grays. You don't see them very often, but I remember seeing them on a couple occasions.
No, I hear that a lot, that they're the bosses of the grays, that they're somehow right. In control of them. You think the grays are just some type of biological AI or something?
Well, I think maybe some of them are, but in general, they are races that, in most cases, used to be more like us, and they've had technology for so long that it's changed them. They've often, at least the short grays, have altered themselves by genetic engineering and overexposure to radiation and overuse of transporters and technologies like that. And now they're trying to fix themselves. The grays are an alliance of like seven similar species, and they've all been changed by technology to one extent or another, but I think the short grays are in the worst shape, and that's part of the reason they're doing all these abductions.
Now,
they want people like us in their society, and they want to like fix themselves with human DNA and something like that.
Are there certain bloodlines that are actually targeted more for these abductions and these implants?
Oh, absolutely. It's a lineage thing. They've mapped out all the bloodlines of humanity long ago, apparently, and they know what characteristics they're interested in, and they handpick individuals to be part of their program based on their bloodlines and genetic makeup.
I've spoken with a lot of researchers that tend to believe that there's an ongoing hybridization program. Is that something that you have heard of or encountered, or you know, been told anything about this?
Yeah, they apparently genetically modify most of the people that are involved in the program, and they also have the people that you're calling hybrids have a lot more alien DNA, and were created in the program to try to create beings that look like humans but have all the gray abilities. And apparently they've had to put so much human DNA into them to make them look human that the gray abilities are quite diluted, but they're a lot more psychic and intuitive than normal humans, and they have faster reflexes, they're stronger, that sort of thing.
So do you think that these hybrids, they're actually walking amongst us?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know how many, but I have reason to believe it's at least a few thousand.
Now, from your experiences, these beings, do they have the ability to I guess, travel interdimensionally. Are they interdimensional beings, or have they been physical, the ones that you've encountered?
Well, I mean, they have time travel, so in that sense, they're interdimensional. They can travel between alternate realities. In fact, they told me that one thing they did tell me is that they don't like to use time travel. It's more dangerous than space travel. You could get into an alternate reality, and it might be difficult to get out. But no, I don't think they're from an alternate universe per se. They told me that their races are in general from planets within 100 light years of here. One of which is Zeta Reticuli 4 and 61 Ursa Majoris 3 is another one.
I find it interesting that you said they used to be a lot more like us, and you know, all these things that they've done to themselves have changed their appearance over time.
Right.
Do you think that they were very much like humanoid beings, possibly humans, and they're us in the future?
I've heard some of them are, yeah. Area 51 supposedly made contact with a group of grays that were humans from the future, from like a million years from now. And typically these beings start looking like grays when they've had technology for well in excess of 100,000 years, usually like on the order of a million years. That's my understanding anyway.
Now, what are your thoughts on our secret space program? Do you think that we have operations on the moon, on the Mars?
I think we've had a secret space program for a long time. According to my research, when the Air Force announced they were getting out of the space business back in 1957, I believe it was, and they formed NASA, that was for show. I mean, they never did get out of the space business. They've had a secret space program ever since then. NASA's always been a dog and pony show to occupy the public and to get all the space scientists under one roof where they can be controlled and what they say can be controlled. And the Air Force has been trying to advance in space for ever since then. And they've had anti-gravity powered craft that are like, you know, primitive versions or less sophisticated versions of what the aliens have since the late 60s, from what I understand.
How far ahead do you think our military-industrial complex is as far as technology? I mean, I've heard up to 50 years.
Yeah, in general, it's about that. In certain areas, they're more like 100 years ahead. But about 50 years in general.
And do you think that we will ever see any of this possible free energy technology, anti-gravity?
I think we're probably going to see the anti-gravity before we see the free energy. I think in order to see the free energy, we're going to have to change how we govern this planet and take the power out of the hands of this power elite that controls people that own all the oil companies and the pharmaceutical companies and the big industries in general. The reason we haven't gotten enough oil is not because there aren't better ways of generating power, but because oil and so-called fossil fuels are as good as it gets as far as the profit margin for the power elite. You need to burn megatons of the stuff to generate any great amount of power, and it's a substance that occurs all over the planet. We're not running out. That's a myth that we're running out. It's generated from inorganic reactions deeper than the earth. It has nothing to do with fossils, specifically at the crust, at or near the crust mantle boundary. That's why in any place there's faulting, oil comes to the surface. It's actually the liquid that the crustal plates float on. But in any event, we're not running out, and you have to burn megatons of the stuff, and you can charge $100 a barrel for it. And it's difficult to see any other way of generating power have a higher profit margin than that. And they also control people that way. You need their oil in order to generate power. If we had free energy, then you could have a little box that would power your house and everybody would be independent. Even when they have things like nuclear power, for example, they want to make huge mega power plants out of it that everybody has to depend on rather than smaller units that would be safer.
That brings me to my next point of, I think that's, you know, the reason why so many of us believe that, or want to believe that these elites are in control from an off planet or a malevolent source or even some kind of demonic source. They don't want to believe that humans just come up with this on their own and then they want to enslave humanity just for the sake of power, just for the sake of money. But, you know, I'm still on the fence. Is it just humanity enslaving itself, or is there something out there that's, you know, controlling them, pulling their strings? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a little of both. I think that the power elite are extremely corrupt, morally bankrupt individuals, and I think they probably are being influenced by aliens of some stripe, probably reptilians, like they say. One reason I think that there's some alien influence involved is because there seems to be a very long-term, multi-century plan to do all this enslaving of humanity. I just don't believe that humans are capable of planning much beyond a human lifetime. It would be highly uncharacteristic anyway for individuals that corrupt to give two hoots about what happens after they die. So aliens have a much longer lifespan. So that's why I think that there probably is some alien influence involved with this. But I don't think it's really the Greys. I think if it is aliens, it probably is the reptilians.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many aspects of our society that is going, I believe, in the wrong direction. I mean, we're seeing enhancements in technology, but what are we using it for? I mean, most of the nation is staring at their smartphones and not producing anything, not giving back to society. And, you know, it's all about themselves and their devices and just the nonsense that the media is spewing out there. The agendas seem to get worse every year, and people are just buying into it and going along with it, and it doesn't seem to be changing in any way. There's a few of us that are waking up to this and becoming aware and spreading the word, but it doesn't seem to be enough to be making a change that in the direction we need to go.
Yeah, I think we're making some progress, but I hope it's not too little, too late. I mean, the Greys really do want us to wake up and do things better and improve things. There's really no reason technologically why things can't be getting better and better on this planet instead of worse and worse. The only reason they're getting worse and worse, in my opinion, is because the power elite want more and more and more money out of us and more and more control and. When you disempower people and take all their money away and everything, then things are definitely going to get worse and worse. The type of system that they have set up and that they want to promulgate is unsustainable, and the Greys are concerned about that too. All the technology we do have, we use for or at least governments use for better ways of killing each other. And we need to, you know, do something constructive as a race rather than always destructive. I mean, there's no reason why we ought to behave with every new technology like a kid that's found his father's gun. I mean, we need to be more responsible than that.
Now, you said that it's the Greys that they want to help us. I hear so many contradictory stories about the Greys. They're very misunderstood. I think some of them actually are malevolent type robotic entities that may be under control of reptilian races, but I hear some of them are here to help us. So you've experienced primarily the ones that are here to help, or so they say.
Well, yeah, they're not warm and fuzzy, but and they're mainly here to help themselves to our resources and such. But they are here secondarily to help the planet and to help us become a more sane and responsible race, definitely. But no. I disagree with people who say that they're total scum sucking evil. I mean, I just haven't really experienced that.
Do you think that there was an agreement with Eisenhower and these ETs for technology in exchange for human abductions?
Yeah, I think there was. I don't have any proof of that, but it certainly makes sense. I mean, they had a big a big to-do with UFOs over the White House in 1952, and they were trying to shoot them down prior to that, big time, and it sort of makes sense that somebody would have requested a meeting, and Eisenhower was actually missing during a couple of time periods when people said they had a meeting with the Greys at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. It's said that Kennedy met with them too, and I was kind of mad that they about them selling us out at first, but then I figured, well, what else really could they do? That if they had not agreed to it, the Greys would have just done it anyway, and they wouldn't have gotten anything out of it. They wanted to get technology out of it, at least.
So what are your thoughts on what's happening now with disclosure? There's, I'd like to say, interesting things happening. I don't know what direction they're trying to come with this, with the Navy sightings and all the mainstream media talking about UFOs, and now this whole craze with Storm Area 51. It just seems like it's all happening at one time. More prevalent now. Do you think that there's some sort of agenda there?
Yeah, I think there always has been two conflicting agendas in government about disclosure. The intelligence agencies want to keep the alien presence under wraps forever, and a lot of other government agencies want to disclose, or at least disclose in a controlled manner after a certain amount of time. And I think the Navy now believes that time has come and that we should be seriously preparing the public for disclosure, and they have a lot of pull, and I think that they and maybe some other government agencies have instituted a push for this and told the intelligence community that enough is enough, we're going to do this. But yeah, several people have told me that there's more of a push for disclosure right now than ever before, and it was really kind of abrupt too, because just like 2 years ago, we were in the midst of another crackdown on talking about UFOs. So it goes in cycles, but this cycle appears to be different, according to what I've heard, in that that we may actually get disclosure at the end of it this time.
Do you think that we will see it within I don't know, say the next 5 years?
Yeah. There's a good chance. I'm not going to say for sure, but I think there's maybe a 50-50 chance we'll see disclosure within 5 years.
Now, what are your thoughts on what's happening with Trump? Do you, I don't really follow politics. I never trusted the presidents. I always believe there are puppets. But, you know, like I tell people, I do see something with Trump that I haven't seen before. I just don't know if there's another agenda behind that. You know, a hidden agenda behind the agenda. It's so hard to tell with everything that's happened. What are your thoughts? Do you think he's on our side and he's trying to get the ball rolling in the right direction for us?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Trump, in part, started this latest push towards disclosure. I know his, I believe it was his father, was heavily involved in UFO research from within the government, and he knows all about this stuff, and I think that he's not a part of the reason there's people are so against him is that in the media is because he's not a puppet, or at least he's not nearly as much of a puppet as the last few presidents we've had, and that worries him a lot. And these people in the so-called deep state are very worried about him because he's from their point of view a loose cannon, and he wants to put things back the way they were.
So do you see a victory for him? Do you think we're still going to keep going in that same direction?
As far as disclosure, or
The election, do you think that he has a chance that we're going to keep moving in that direction?
Do I think he's going to get reelected? You mean, or
yeah?
Yes, I believe he will get reelected. I think that people that the deep state people are not going to be able to counter the groundswell of positive public opinion about Trump improving the economy and trying to stop this agenda of giving all power to illegal aliens and all that sort of thing that they've been doing. This crazy stuff.
Now, as far as all these other agendas, these hidden agendas to, you see it, trying to dumb us down through the media. Very suspect of 5G. I don't believe that it's going to be just for faster download speeds. I believe that there's some malevolent purposes behind that. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, I've seen indications from what I've been from my research that 5G can be weaponized and can be used to spy on people and be used to do mind control and several other things, and that's the reason government's pushing for it so hard. It's not to download PDF files faster than we can do now. Everybody, including Trump and government, wants 5G. They're just salivating for it, and to the point where they're willing to launch like $1 trillion worth of new satellites in order to support it. This is in spite of the fact that it's known for sure that radiation in that wave band is terrible for you, and they're planning on bathing the planet in low levels of high gigahertz to terahertz radiation, and nobody knows what effect that'll have. I can't be good.
Definitely. Now, as far as our secret space program, a lot of the UFOs that we see, do you believe that those are actual off-planet crafts, or do you think that's a lot of our military?
I think most of them are alien. My personal opinion is that most of them are alien, but maybe a third of them are ours. The percentage of ones that are ours is probably going to continue to increase. It's definitely increased since the 1960s and 70s. They reportedly perfected the anti-gravity craft to the point where it was, pretty safe and could carry large loads and such around the mid-90s. So they have now a fleet of anti-gravity-powered spacecraft. And a congressman from Alaska during that hearing on disclosure that Steve Bassett held in Washington D.C. actually admitted that during the proceedings.
Now, as far as the alien species, the Greys, for instance, they have an agreement that they can't intervene with anything in our planet. Is that right?
Well, I think there's like an alien UN where all the powerful alien species interact, and I think they've got a rule that they cannot interfere in primitive planets unless they have local government approval, and the Greys now have local government approval to do certain things, but I don't think they can do anything they want down here even still. I think they're also subject to the will of other powerful alien species.
Now, have you seen an increase in implants since you first started researching this?
It's hard to say. I know that that most people that come to see me have implants because that's a totally very highly enriched, pre-selected sample of people towards. Having implants or abduction activity, but as far as an increase in abduction and the prevalence of implants in the general population? I think so, but I don't know. I don't know how to prove that. We'd have to do a study involving a large number of people to prove that. Certainly, yeah. The number of UFO sightings has gone up, and most likely, most of those UFO sightings are abduction related. I mean, I have reason to believe they fly thousands of sorties a day for supporting the abduction program.
Now, do you think that it's possible that we will have disclosure from them and not it won't come from us?
Yeah, it's possible. It's quite possible. I know that I've been saying that for years, that the aliens are going to disclose themselves eventually if we don't. And it's possible if the aliens give them an ultimatum that they've got to disclose, or we will. And that would certainly get the ball rolling. I don't know that for a fact, but it's possible.
Very interesting. Now, Steve, I want to thank you again so much for coming on tonight. And could you give everybody your websites before you head out?
Yeah, sure. It's www.alienevidenceinc.webs.com. And it needs a little work at present, but it's got a couple of papers on it. On my implant and patient 16's implant that I think people that are scientifically minded would find very interesting. Both of them were sophisticated nanotechnological devices with large amounts of carbon nanotubes in the interior. And I urge everybody to take a look at those, and there's ample evidence from my analyses that both the those pieces were from off-planet.
Very good. And I want to thank you so much again for coming on tonight, Steve, and you have an excellent rest of your night.
Okay, you too. Nice. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. Good night.
Good night.